2018 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota Footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. Front row.
Every Holden Commodore is tuned for Australian conditions. Head into your local dealer for a test drive today. For Holden, welcome to the Triple M Saturday rub.
For McDonald's,
I'm loving it.
Triple M rocks footy.
You're very, very welcome. We're at the Triple MCG, we're at the Coliseum, we're at the centre of the universe, and I tell you what, massive game of football today. Hawthorn Geelong, great rivalry as we know, and both need to win if they're going to see September action. It's all on the line, and there's been just open arguing in the room here before we even get on air. Blokes are just blueing with each other, and what I love when that happens is Duck suddenly leans forward in the chair and everyone just goes a little bit quietens down a touch. Bill's been here a minute and a half. Hello to you, Fat.
G'day, Jimmy boy. Just doing some babysitting.
Were you?
Of your own child.
Yeah. Well, funny about that, yes.
It's not babysitting when it's your own, Bill.
Well, when they're 14.
I'm putting in an invoice. Oh, buddy, I've got to take him to school. I've got to make lunches. I've got to pick him up. And then he wants bacon and eggs this morning. It doesn't get out of bed. Plays
Bill,
Fortnite.
It's called being a father.
Well, I'm not a bloody good father. Anyway, I'll tell you what. Been a huge week in football. But today, boys, we are going to see the best rivalry in football, without doubt.
The best
rivalry in football.
I think Adelaide, and I'm happy Port to. Adelaide would probably have a bit to say about that.
I'll raise you five, and I'll raise you ten before you open your big mouth.
I think you'd call it the nicest rivalry. These two teams are nice.
Well, the best rivalry.
They're
right?
Nice.
With what's happened since 2007, or go back to even 89, right through, it's been the best. Duck,
anyway,
you'd have to agree,
it's,
Duck.
It's been pretty good, Bill.
Yes,
there are some others. But
anyway,
it's been very
Damo, good. I saw something. I saw something very interesting on the way here today. I was just driving up the road here.
I hope it wasn't me.
Up near the Hilton there, and I sort of pulled up at the lights, and there's a sort of a darkish Range Rover. It's got sort of slightly tinted windows.
Yeah, I think I know the one you mean. Yeah,
sort of a tan leathered upholstery sort of look inside. You know, very salubrious sort of surrounds.
Good, that can't be me.
Look at me, I'm cool. Yeah.
And it's sort of, you know, he's sort of sitting up there in the chief seat, and he's got his seat, you know, the electric seats, they go up real high. He's sitting up real high, this guy.
It's one of your big build-up stories.
Yeah, and there's quite a few cars around
right.
this car,
yeah.
You know, and there's all of a sudden I'm parked behind, well, in the rows behind, and I'm seeing the guy on the right having a crack at the Range Rover on the left.
Right.
And the guy on the right was, he was in a sort of a Ford Mustang.
I don't drive a Range Rover.
And he looked like he might have been
you're an idiot,
going to the footy.
Oh.
You know? And the guy on the left looked like a real wanker.
Yeah.
And and he was there, and the guy in the Mustang is yelling at him. And I think there's going to be road rage here.
Was the guy in the Mustang without hair?
Yeah. He didn't have hair. And I thought, I'm thinking, who is this bloke yelling at the guy on the left? And I'm thinking, Jesus, this is interesting. This is going to, I've got the camera out and I'm rolling. Because this is going to flare up here.
Current affair.
At any moment. And I go up into the over the emergency lane just to see who the guy in the Range Rover is. And I can get a clear view through the windows into the Mustang on the other side. And I see JB there.
I don't drive a Range Rover.
JB's in the Range Rover. He's towing a horse float. And he's just got the polo horses ready to go.
You are an idiot.
And the guy who he thought was just a... he thought was a member of the public.
Yeah.
Let's face it. And JB doesn't answer to members of the public.
No.
And then the guy's yelling out, "Yeah, hey, what are you doing out there?"
Yeah,
and he obviously recognised JB. And JB's giving him nothing, nothing, not even a sort of a sneering glance. It was just a straight ahead, got the polo horses on, mate, get out of the way. I'm an absolute punter.
You
I've got
are
me,
an idiot.
Me checkered bloody Florentino suit on, and I'm heading in this direction.
Yeah.
And the guy that was trying to get his attention, he thought was a supporter or something, or someone that actually might want to. No, it was Gary Ablett.
Snubbed Gary Ablett.
He snubbed him.
Bristol. Firstly, I don't drive a Range Rover, as you know, Bill. But secondly, I'm parked at the lights and I'm just minding my own business. And I hear this noise next to me, and I did far for a second think it was enough.
Yeah,
no. So I just kept looking ahead, and then I hear the noise again. I turn around, it's Gazza.
Gaz.
Junior. He's just heading into the ground. A little Mustang.
Mustang, yeah.
So Gaz recognising JB, but JB not wanting to recognise the great Gary Ablett.
I didn't see it was him.
Did you acknowledge
him? I was minding my own business.
Did you say g'day?
Of course I did.
Oh, good.
This is what we're working with, don't we?
Did you ever acknowledge?
Polo horses.
This is our leader.
Do you ever acknowledge anyone who chooses to wave or say hello or just wants to engage in a friendly conversation?
I want to table it like this. When you've copped as much abuse as I have over the journey, when you hear noise from the side, you just keep looking straight on.
You're like the horses with the blinkers, Jim.
You look straight on.
No outside noise for you.
I don't want to be copping through the window. So anyway, it was the great Gary Ablett, Bill, and a very friendly mood he was in too.
No, I'll tell you, he's one of the best blokes you'll ever meet. And he could have been a hood, or he could have been arrogant with his upbringing. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't another Ablett. He was Gary Ablett, so he's done a really good job himself. So well done to little Junior.
Now, a bit going on with our main man.
Tight T-shirt boy.
Yes, he's a bit going on.
There's a bit going on.
We've got to get to the bottom of a couple of things.
First, I've got one to raise with him.
He's in a T-shirt with a vest over the top. Puffer vest.
And what I like about Duck is when he doesn't know quite what's coming, but he senses
a nervous,
nervous, and then the eyes just narrow,
Jim.
And what he's really saying with that is, I'd get this 100% right if I were you. Otherwise, I might just lean across.
Damo, get it 100% right.
Well, it's come to my attention that a member of the Triple M family, BT, is absolutely livid with two members in this room.
Not happy.
And it's a man I've got to know and like a lot, probably more than I do you, BT. Chris Judd is furious with you, Wayne, but it's come to his attention that you might have been stoking Wayne for the reasons for this anger. And you did on Monday night, Duck, is question Chris Judd's credibility. And his professionalism when you said this and asked this question on your very good show, Talking Footy, of Gillon McLachlan.
Strong comments from Juddy and where the Blues have been for some time. Is that a conflict of interest from Juddy, do you think?
I don't know whether it's a conflict, whether you're talking to how Carlton are going.
Could argue Paddy Cripps would be pretty upset about how his club's gone.
Yeah, all I'd say is that Chris is a respected figure. He's working there clearly in the media. He's got his view.
Juddy's done some homework on all of this. And I don't know how he's very well connected. And while it was Wayne Carey's voice that we heard on Talking Footy there, it's come to Chris Judd's attention that it was UBT stoking
Wayne Carey. Loaded the gun.
Duck will you'll deny that, of course, and tell the truth, because you always tell the truth. And if you don't tell the truth on this occasion,
Duck,
I'll let people know you don't tell the truth.
This is why we all love Judd, and I love the fact, and let's be honest, you've got it exactly right there. It was my voice, but I was nothing more than a puppet.
A duck being a puppet.
So, Juddy's mail was right, BT, that it was who wanted this table.
No, I didn't say it was BT.
That's right. There you go.
Scoop McClure had a fair bit to do with it. But
he's the Carlton loader of things.
Yeah.
Are you jealous of Chris Judd?
You've got
a real problem with the Friday night team and the Saturday night team.
I have a problem with your attitude, yeah.
Juddy, if you listen to it, the question was, question that was given to me to ask was, is it? So it was a question. It wasn't
a strange question.
It wasn't a statement, exactly, Bill. So, and by the way, I thought Gil McLachlan, he handled that very well and answered it the way he should have. And as far as Gil's concerned, it wasn't. I'm happy with that. And I know BT after, how do I go? I said, how do I go?
Well, did you?
They thought I got it out all right.
Yeah, and you should let the super trendy Juddy know that he's just barking up the wrong tree. And he needs to have a good look at himself. And he's often says things wrong, and that's been proven in, well, fairly recent time. Yeah. But, you know, he's got to move on, Juddy. He can't keep looking for others to stab.
We're part of the family.
He's an issue.
We're part of the family.
It's got nothing to do with me, Bill.
Well, you're loaded the gun.
I haven't loaded any gun.
Oh, AK-16.
Sam McClure is the cult. Oh, well, he loaded the gun on Duck.
It's the last time I'm going to be a puppet.
I thought you'd never be a puppet, Duck. You, of all people, would never be a puppet.
Oh, no, Juddy.
But fair to say, Thursday night, Juddy came in to see us, sat down and said, and he was fair dinkum. I've never seen Chris Judd like this. He to Damo and I said, "What is wrong with Brian?
He's so trendy. He's not trendy."
No, didn't he, Damo? He was very, very serious.
Can't work out where it's come from because he's always been part of a team, and everyone pulls in the one direction.
Would he honestly? Would you honestly think that I give a stuff about Carl?
But why don't you like him,
Juddy?
Yeah,
I like him. I like him, but I don't.
I think you're jealous of him.
I wasn't going with that one with Duck.
Oh, sorry.
That wasn't, but I like that being the part of it. But that wasn't where I was headed, Bristle. Mm. And I wasn't going down the he's getting married path either, because I acknowledge that's garbage.
Front page of the Daily News.
I acknowledge that that's garbage, so I'm not going there.
BT's got more chance of being kicked to death by a duck.
Puddles.
Then me getting married.
So what happened? Sorry, I missed this one.
Scuttlebutt.
Duck but ring shopping.
Which one?
But Duck.
Mazzucchelli's.
Which one?
The fact that you could ring shop is the interest, because after a month of an absent wallet, it got handed back to you full of folding stuff.
Can you believe that? 3.5 weeks ago, lost my wallet and sort of, as you do straight away, cancelled all the cards. Mm. Didn't get it. Just had a feeling. Obviously rang the restaurant, thought, and they checked the tapes because I thought it was obviously stolen, because I don't lose wallets, don't leave things behind, not forgetful. Anyway, yesterday I get the phone call from the South Bank Police Station. Big boy.
Interesting place to find it.
Yeah. Well, it got handed in to the police station.
Brian immediately goes to the cop shop.
And I had a fair bit of, I'd gone to the bank that day.
How much
that
cash?
Day.
How much?
Well, I took 700 out. I know that sounds like a lot extravagant, but I think I was I was going ring shopping. I took $700 out, I got handed in. And when I spoke to the police officer yesterday, I said, that's fantastic, because I hadn't replaced my Medicare card and, all of those sort of cards that I just hadn't got around to doing. And I said, I assume there's no cash in it. Mm. He said, 500 cash still in it. So 3.5 weeks later, handed in all cards.
And when they...
My AFL cards that people could just come in and swipe into the MCG, all of that still there, and the 500 cash.
And when they ring you, did they... They would have looked at the cards and the license on there, would have said, King Kerry. They say, are you the king?
they didn't quite say that.
So you got it back?
I got it back.
They get a photo?
Very, very happy.
A selfie and things in there?
No, they didn't need that, Phil.
Oh, rubbish. They would have... You would have said, I'll do
so
for
anyway,
you.
It was a good day. Good day for me. Yes.
For whoever he or she was that did that,
yes,
well done.
Yes, well done to them.
Why has it taken 3.5 weeks?
Good karma. That's what I would like to know.
Yeah.
Apparently the gentleman that handed back in said he was trying to contact me in various forms, social media.
Because you're in a lot of forms of media.
I'm very private, sort of can't get hold of me, Peter. very happy with that. And just to clarify again, back over that, more chance of being
We got that.
I'd go with something else than that.
You got a steady, though.
Listen to Bristol.
Yeah.
Hey, the Saints last night, Friday night football, again, not quite getting it right with the fixture. And the fixture, Damo, I think the AFL had discussions this week with the CEOs and chairman. This week or last week about the upcoming fixture.
Yep.
For me, of all the things, and we know the rules are being trialled and all the other things at AFLW and all the things that are on their plate to get right, the fixture for next season should be number one, because it's been an abomination this year and they've got to fix it.
It is, and you're right, Jim, in the time frame of it, there was a gathering of CEOs during the week, and it was made very prominent in their discussions that the draw would be rectified on what we had dished up this year. And thankfully, that will be the case, because while they will not admit it, Channel 7, the main free-to-air broadcaster, has had some serious issues with what it was dealt this year, and it has sought to have that remedied for next year.
Well, they have to. Friday nights, Saturday nights, I mean, I don't quite get Bristol where the negotiating table, you know, who sits where. So, because they paid more, do they get first look at the games they want them? How does it operate?
So, Damo and JB, if you had to fix it, and let's assume that it's broken and it hasn't been good this year, so what would be the what do you need to fix? What is it that needs to be fixed about it?
Not putting as much focus and as many games to clubs like Carlton and St Kilda, who maybe in the eyes of the AFL a season out, tracking okay, but just to lock in with the teams that you can almost
bank on
and lock in to draw a crowd and an interest. And the interest is probably a bigger word for the AFL than the crowd itself because of the lack of interest we have had in these
prime time slots. We hear those clubs that aren't Friday night material bellowing as a result of them not getting...
No, they won't because they've had a chance. And we saw what happened to Carlton in Mick Malthouse's last year. We've seen what's happened to St Kilda this year. They're not ready for it. They're not up for it. And as such, they won't be complaining about it.
So the... and BT brought it up, I reckon, about a month and a half ago. Get to the bye round and then maybe have a look at floating Friday night. Have they spoken to the clubs about being able to accept a five-day break to achieve that?
I'm not aware of that conversation, if it's been had, Jim. And every time I ask the question, as others do, we get pushback from the AFL wanting to go down to that floating component to it.
You've got to sit around. You've almost got to have a crystal ball. So if you looked at the comp as it sits right now, you'd almost automatically say, you know what, Essendon should play finals next year if they miss out this year. So they're going to improve. Adelaide have the ability to bounce straight back in, I think. They've had a lot of bad luck. And
I think what you'll find also,
There's always a couple of bolters. Collingwood's the bolter inside the eight this year. So they're the ones. That's why the floating fixture works. So you get a Collingwood that's a bolter, and then you can fix things at the halfway mark.
And the showdowns and the derbies have traditionally been in the non-prime time slots. I think you'll find a strong push for to have at least a couple of those fixtures next year in the Friday night.
Last week was Essendon, Hawthorn, 80, how many thousand did we have?
It's close to it, wasn't it?
You know, and we had the Collingwood Essendon game. Was it Collingwood Essendon recently? Big blockbuster.
Richmond.
Yeah. Today is going to be huge.
Yep.
How those games aren't on Saturday night for me, I just don't get it.
Friday night.
AFL is about to, they will break the attendance record this year. It is on target to break the attendance record.
Mainly due to Optus Stadium.
Which was last year. And also some of these big games at this back end, obviously involving the Tigers, Collingwood and others. Next Friday night's an absolute massive game, Essendon, Richmond. So they will break the attendance record. Memberships of all AFL clubs.
One million.
TV figures, it's down.
There are some big ticks in some other areas. So let's not just be all negative.
No, we're not. But we need to get to the break. But Bristol, and the Fox people will be jumping through their radio sets trying to strangle me. Mm. But the reality of it is that they've got, I think, 28% coverage.
About 28%, yes.
Yeah. So
that's of Foxtel. Foxtel. You've got to go, how many of the 28 watch Fox?
AFL footy. So with these three blockbuster games, my argument would be they should be being able to be seen by the most amount of people.
Here's the thing. Remember a few years ago the AFL did a survey and they asked the fans where they wanted footy, and the fans come back and they said they wanted it in the traditional slot on Saturday afternoon. That's why we now have the odd good Saturday afternoon fixture, because that's what the fans voted for. That's what they wanted.
The fans voted for you too, best caller. And most annoying.
It's costing them all.
I tell you what,
there
Bill.
We go.
I tell you something
fake
now.
Fake news. Most annoying.
Fake news. Right.
Most annoying.
Fake news.
We just need to hear something Duck mentioned earlier on because I don't think anyone listening can believe it. Have a listen.
Oh, it was nothing more than a puppet.
Oh, no. No.
Triple M rocks footy. This is the Triple M Saturday run.
For McDonald's, we're here at the MCG looking forward to Hawthorn Geelong. Bristol, as you can hear, especially looking forward to it. We've got a big guest coming up, Ben McAvoy, big boy in here. And then down on the boundary, we've got Boris Enright, the great man, the three-time premiership superstar, five-time All-Australian.
Narrowly.
One-on-one with B. Brownless.
Why?
So you're going down there and you're going to... and I want a Jared Waitley-style approach.
Waitley.
Ask good questions.
Oh, I want good questions.
Waitley.
I want
give
you
me
to
some,
open up the great Boris Enright, and we'll look forward to that, Bill.
All right.
The key to a good interview, Bill, is to listen to the answer and to then ask a question off the answer.
What?
Okay. We've got that coming up too. Tell us something you don't know, the quiz, or she's a big Saturday afternoon as we get ready for the Hawks and the Cats. And we're hearing something, Damo.
Yeah, Hawks have confirmed that Joe Roughhead is a late withdrawal for this particular game, and that in replacement, Mark Pittenay, BT. So get your head around that.
Ankle soreness, we're hearing, is the reason why Jared Roughhead will miss today. So that's big news for Hawks fans, footy fans in general. Now, let's talk a bit about last night, Damo. You have for a couple of weeks been suggesting that within the review of what's happening at St Kilda, that the senior coach position is not 100% safe for next year.
Yeah.
So it's not a knee-jerk on what happened last night, but tell us a little more.
Yeah, and it's not safe. And I factor in, obviously, guys, as we all do, and as we have heard Simon Lefflin, who's heading the review at St Kilda Footy Club, saying publicly, adamantly, only a week ago, that he will, Alan Richardson, go into 2019, Duck. But there are power brokers around that footy club now, BT, who are demanding that Alan Richardson be part of the Simon Lefflin review, and that they really need more answers than they've got on him going into the what will be the sixth and seventh years by way of the contract anyway for Alan Richardson. It's a very poor strike rate that he's got, and again, just take it as fact that there are people at that footy club and around that footy club who are now wanting Alan Richardson to be part of the overall review.
But who would those people be, Damo? Because if they're beyond Simon Lefflin,
yep,
there's only two people, aren't there? There's Matt Finnis and...
Officially, yeah.
Background.
Yeah, but there's also, Jim, a board issue at play. And I say issue because Peter Summers has been at the club now for, I think, 6 years as chairman. And, look, a very good man, very good businessman, and a very good person. But he has indicated, guys, that he will be leaving the club within the next year. These same people I referred to, Jim, including some on the board itself, are now of the view that with that in mind, with that him leaving the club being already locked down, let's do it now. As in, why wait? We are in a transitional stage now. We are in a big change, a big movement around this footy club. So I expect that to happen sooner rather than later. Andrew Bassett, BT, is someone on the board who was very well credentialed through his connections with the company Seek, and people are hoping and urging him to consider taking over the main role, and there will be other candidates around it as well.
My understanding of the review of the coaching department was that all coaches were automatically reviewed, and Alan Richardson was as a part of that.
Yep.
They came up with the result on the back of that review that they needed to make some changes, perhaps at the lower level and at the top level. And I think they even named Kingsley, Sexton and Richardson as all being okay and looking like they will continue. And it was the lower half of the coaching segment that was going to be looked at very, very closely. So, Damo, my question to you on the back of that is, has he not already been part of that review?
The review that Simon Lefflin has gone public with, or part of the review, has Simon McPhee, Lindsay Gilbey and Rowan Welsh being three of the coaches who won't be there next year, having been there for some time. But there are people around Simon Lefflin who are, as I said, BT, urging. And it was made known to Richardson himself that these last three games actually meant something. And last three games being Essendon last night, Duck, you called it. It was dreadful what they dished up. They've got Hawthorn next Saturday night in round 22. And then their final game of the year is against North Melbourne. And it will be all factored in. Just a couple of other things.
By the way, just in finishing that, Alan Richardson will coach St Kilda next year.
He will.
You are studying
this. Definitely.
Yeah, I reckon he 100%.
I don't think it's any more than 50-50 BT right now.
What happens, Brian, if they lose the next two games badly? Well, badly.
Well, if they lose the next two games, that's probably what they're expecting to happen.
Well, I wouldn't have thought.
Not badly.
The messaging out of the club, Jim, it's a bit like Brendan Bolton at St Kilda. There are no answers when it comes to the post-match press conference. And while that's a harsh take on what has been happening with Alan Richardson, last night post-match, it could have been any one of the other 15 or so losses they've had this year.
There's periods in the game where they were able to get hold of us for big minutes, and that was disappointing. And that can happen with young teams, and we have to learn. We'll coach them really strongly and make sure that they're better next time. But we think we've got some players that are better than what they're showing at the minute, but we think that that going forward we've got a really strong nucleus. We've also made really strong noise that we need to support that group. There was periods in the first half of the game where we had some real momentum but just hurt ourselves really badly with our ball use. We've had some issues with our use throughout the year, but that's as bad as we've used it, particularly from the back.
Duck, he used the word nucleus there. What is the nucleus to which he refers? Because I don't see it. Others don't see it. And the AFL, Jim, is really worried about where this club's list is at.
Yeah, look, I guess it's those middle-range players. They did have a very young team in last night, so there are a lot of kids. And one thing I'll say, when you look at St Kilda...
I think they've got six players out for the season.
Yeah, and when you look at Carlton, and how many debutants this year? Six or seven?
Seven
debutants this year. So when you look at those teams, it is the basic fundamental skill errors that absolutely kill you, especially when those players are not under a great deal of pressure and they just turn the footy over. It does. It's demoralising. It's demoralising for the player that does it. He goes into his shell. The other players don't then run to position when they should because they're scared that they're just going to make mistakes. It's just a snowball effect with this team. And when you're down on confidence like they are, and look, don't get me wrong, where they are sitting right now, given their last 2 weeks, I'm talking about last week and last night, would not surprise me if they do get flogged in the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's how low this group is feeling right now. It's very hard to turn around when a group is so low in, like I said, in confidence and like just making really basic mistakes.
The club was genuinely shocked with what happened against Western Bulldogs the previous week, and that was damning how they had set up a 4-goal lead and then allowed 7 goals to be kicked in a very short period of time. It happened again last night. It's equally damning in the eyes of these same people that the Bombers can be down 2 men at quarter time of this game last night and for that game to then go Essendon's way from that moment onwards. And it is a concern. And just one more snippet of news on the Saints, Duck, before you jump back in, is Graham Allen has been approached to play a role in the footy department. And I believe it's going to be more a list assessment type of role. But he's no shrinking violet, Graham Allen. And when the club... any club makes an approach to him, it's going to be a significant role should he take it. I know he's considering it. He's currently working exclusively with Brad Scott at North Melbourne as a consultant.
Just on the Saints, like, you know, Alan Richardson's not always going to come out in a press conference and give all of the answers that he may or may not have. They're going to be discussed internally. You agree with that, don't you?
Yeah.
He's not going to tell the press everything they need to know. No. So, you know, you need to be behind that wall to understand what is said to then make a decision on whether what he's
You're
saying...
You're mates with Alan Richardson,
hang on. No, I've actually been behind the wall and I've actually heard the discussions that go on. The other thing I want to say about...
What do you mean behind the wall? What are you saying there? Have you been in there down there this year?
I have been to St Kilda this year, yeah. And I've listened to meetings and been in team meetings down there. So I have a little tiny snippet of what's going on. But for people outside that have never been there. Now, the other thing I want to say about St Kilda is, where's their CEO? Where's Matt Finnis? Because I tell you what, you know, with other clubs around, when you think of them, Brennan Gale, Cook, Nesbitt, Ireland, Jackson, they're all front and centre when there's an issue. Where the hell is Matt Finnis, the CEO of St Kilda, in amongst all of this? Why isn't he standing up and saying, hang on, this is the direction we're going, this is what we're doing, you're heading it up here, overseas, you know, is he overseas, Damo?
I believe he was last week, yeah.
Well,
but I mean,
it's such a critical period for the club, he should be back monitoring and leading the club.
I will say this also about the Saints. I thought that they overachieved the last 2 years prior to this one. I didn't think they were as good as what everyone thought they were. I know they had the really good win against Richmond and they had some really good wins and played some
exciting. And that's been part of the problem.
They were always going to come back to the pack a little bit. And that's where I valued their list. So
they're falling to the bottom of the pack almost.
I don't think they're as low as people think inside those walls. I think they realise where they're at, and I think they now know they've hit, for me, they've actually hit rock bottom this year, but they had to hit rock bottom. So I don't think they'll go any lower than what they have this year, and I think now with some good recruiting over the summer, they can just
get a priority pick
in the right direction.
Jim, I reckon they will be part of this conversation. Now, I've had a strong belief, as you know, that both Carlton and Gold Coast will get one. The AFL has a view with its football people that St Kilda is equally as badly off with its list as those two clubs, and I expect them now to also get a priority
pick. Ben McAvoy going to be in the studio, the big boy, and then one-on-one, Bill, with Boris Enright. We're just expecting you to get the absolute best out of that champion, Bill, so take it seriously. A
couple of things you don't know about him.
That's it. We'll get
how
that
he
out.
Got his name, Boris.
We'll get that out if you want, Bill. Whatever you, whichever direction you want to take it.
He'll probably be in game mode, though.
And collects masks.
A big pardon?
He collects masks.
Masks.
As in the things you put over your face.
Yeah, what do you say?
Mask.
hats.
Masks.
Put the ad. Masks. Like, plural. A lot of them.
We'll say it again.
Masks. Duck, you son. Duck, come on.
I think you're getting a sense of where this interview's headed. It's going to be Must Listen To Radio, one-on-one, Boris Enright with our man Bill Brownless.
Two greats of the club.
That's it. Now tell us, Nathan Brown from last night, before we leave last night's game, in trouble to what extent with the hit on Saad?
In trouble for mine. Just the fact, and it was a hip and shoulder. But Saad not expecting it. Late. Four steps he took before he had plenty of time. Often in these sorts of situations, I'm quite defensive of the player because it's a split second decision and you have to make it. He had an eternity to make up his mind. He did not have to go in. He did not have to bump. And
so here's the issue.
I'm talking broken ribs. Right, I'm talking all sorts of stuff. Saad was not ready for it.
He should
three
have been,
plus weeks.
He should have been
right.
already.
Three.
So that's Duck's opinion. So the thing that you've got to look at, the bump was actually okay. The bump was shoulder to shoulder and was actually okay.
Very late.
Right. Hang on. The actual physical bump was okay. The thing that wasn't okay was it was late, as Duck has pointed out.
Tick.
And was he fairly expecting to be contacted in that situation?
No.
Probably not.
So he'd given the ball off.
So they're the two things. Although the ball, if you look at it, the ball was still in the air from the handball that he'd given off. So
Bron, you've played, Bron.
So you're saying, forget about the bump. The bump was legal and okay.
Yes.
It didn't result in the issue.
What about what happened to
So it's just that it's late. So what's the penalty for being late and the fact that he was not expecting to be bumped at that stage?
But what about what happened to Saad also, who didn't play any further part in the game?
Okay, he got knocked out by
But that's what the AFL look at.
Yeah, absolutely they do.
Was it intentional?
Yes.
Yes.
He could argue it was careless.
Contact?
Yes.
High?
No.
No, not high. No. Not the way they adjudicate it.
Hip and shoulder.
Not the way they adjudicate it.
No, not high.
No, there's no contact
in force.
Yeah. But, Doug, I think it's a two or one-week suspension. I don't see it as being the...
Anyway, let's not turn this... into an hysteria.
We've got an absolute first today.
Fake news thing.
I've been a puppet. And also Damo, who said a player will get less
than you.
That is an absolute first.
Well, I'm with Damo. That again. I'm with this.
So what are you saying, Damo?
I'm saying two or one.
Brian?
I'm saying two.
Yeah.
Three plus.
And Duck's, you know, a little bit off, but that's okay.
BJ Goddard and his future.
Yeah.
We saw him sitting on the sidelines, so got injured during the game last night. Does he play again for Essendon? Does he play again anywhere else, if not Essendon?
It seems unlikely now that this injury, Duck, and the official report last night was likely ACL, wasn't it? It wasn't made absolutely official, but that was seemed to be the way it was tracking.
No, he wasn't sure himself.
No, I reckon it looked precautionary. He said that after the game, but he did have a slight concerned look on his face because I think, you know, he knows that his career's over if the scan shows something that he's perhaps not expecting to find.
Yeah, on the debate about his future, Jim, I felt he'd done enough this year, the way I've seen him play. I think he's had as good a year, arguably better than last year that he had. So I thought he was going to be worthy of going on, and the value of those players on those clubs' lists, it to me, is still invaluable. But obviously, it's now dependent upon this official...
For him to go on with his current form, what position would he fill for... What role would he play for Essendon next year if he were to go on, given his age and where he's at?
He's just a sweeper now.
Right.
He's just a sweeper. He doesn't... He's the loose man in defence.
Yep.
But experience...
Really, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So when,
and you'd be happy to see him play that role?
When you've got... Well, this is what I'll say. Lee Matthews made the comments during the week that he thinks... But Lethal was judging that off the back of one game. If I was judging it off the back of last week's game, I would say retire. But unlike, and Lethal said the same thing, we don't see the Bombers every single week live. I've seen him play some really good games this year, and then I've seen him play some games where I've thought maybe gone too far. The one thing that I'll say about the Bombers, given their youth and their speed and their run, and talk about Saad and McKenna and these guys, they give you so much run and dash off half back, and they take it on McGrath.
That you can have a Goddard there.
A Goddard that just sits back and controls and sweeps and has that leadership. That's why they love him, and I guess that's why they want him to go on. And at the end of the day, if Woosha and the Essendon Footy Club think Brendan Goddard's good enough to go on, Well, you've got to take them for that. They see him every week. They what he's like every week.
What about Goddard, if he wasn't there, up at the Gold Coast? Luke Hodge-like, that could play that role.
Hailing, by the way.
Hailing?
Yep. Nez contacted. She's out the front. Hail falling.
Nice. I wouldn't
see that as
being a good fit.
Yes, get Nez to do Boris.
The Lions had done a whole lot more work than the Suns have clearly done to allow Hodge to explore that possibility and make it a better place. The Gold Coast Suns are in that big a mess at the moment that I can't see that appealing to Goddard, and I can't see it working if he was to go there.
All right, BT, we got a look last night at something that's likely to come in, if not in 19, certainly in the near future, and that is interchange dropping almost down to 50, which is what Essendon rolled with last night and got the chockies.
Oh, I thought it was really interesting, and it's a really good insight to all sports science operators out there to the future of the game and where the AFL want it to go, that we actually saw players, guess what? Still able to play at the end of the game, even though they didn't get their normal rest, even though that they didn't play, you know, they played more than their 81% allocated game time that they'd normally play. They didn't have to come to the bench. They were able to survive on the ground. They were able to go forward and get their rest there. And I just thought it was a really good lesson and a tiny little window into the future of what we can expect. These players don't have to come off the ground. You can go and find a place to get a little bit of a rest in a deep forward or deep defender, whatever it is. And I thought we saw that last night. What did you think, Duck?
Yeah, look, I tend to agree with you, BT. I think that, you know, to have 52 or 54 or whatever it was.
Is it what it was? As low as that?
Compared to 90, and obviously none in the last quarter because I had no one fit to come back on. I think that's one of the rules that will change. The one thing that happened last night, BT, and I know you were harping on it earlier in the year, but then it sort of drifted back to they were getting the ball up quicker last night.
They the umpires were.
Quicker. They were doing it a lot better. But
So you look at that. So 50 interchanges last night, 60 or whatever it was. You know, they
low 50s.
90, low 50s. So if you put it at 40 or 50s, it's absolutely perfect. I thought we have a, you know, you talk about trialing rules. We had a live look at how 50 interchanges look to a high volume, fast running, explosive team. And guess what? It didn't look too bad. Didn't look at the end of the night that any of those players were absolutely knackered, that they couldn't go another inch. I thought it was a great insight to a simple rule change that is lowering the interchange before we do anything else to the game.
All right, Bill, Boris Enright, you're starting to get your questions. You've been very silent now for about 10 minutes, so I get the feeling you're preparing.
I am.
I think he put his early quad on.
Bill,
we're out firstly.
Boris can be boring.
Yes.
So you really got to do your best work down there.
So can I. But I'll fix it up. I'll go down there, I'll see him, I'll ask a couple of ha-ha questions, and then also the game. Very important. Best rivalry in the...
How will you top and tail the interview?
Well, he's still... I think Chris Scott even said...
Like an introduction.
In 2011, he's the most underrated player ever in the competition.
Who?
Boris Enright.
But this is not about him. It's about Geelong.
Sort of coaching Geelong today and beating Hawthorn and getting in the eight.
Well, you want me to do it, or you two want to go down there?
If you're going to go down that path, maybe we can help you.
Yeah, Duck liked it. Thank you. Let me do it.
You just soften him up, make him feel good about himself.
Half volley outside. Yeah. He hits it for four, and then I go bang!
Triple M rocks footy. This is the Triple M Saturday run.
We're hearing that there was hail falling in the MCG precinct recently. So it won't bother our man now that he's just going to be able to watch from the behind the glass and enjoy himself because he's done a hell of a lot of heavy lifting in his time. The big boy McAvoy's come in. Hello to you, Benny.
G'day, Jack. How are we?
And we've got, of course, Bristle here, Bill's here, Duck's here, Damo's here, the big crew assembled on a Saturday afternoon. What's going on with you, please?
Going well.
Well, hang on. We just might get, is only me hearing it? That microphone jumping around. Let's just get Jase to fix you up, big man. Let's try that again.
All right. Well,
I still can't hear anything.
Still having issues.
Yeah, take mine. I'm happy to sit out.
Yeah, that's it. Get Bill out of here.
Oh, there you go.
you get ready for Boris Enright, Bill. We got you there now.
How's that now?
That's better. Sorry, what's going on with you, please?
Going well. Speak of hail, it wasn't quite hail out at Wavell this morning, but run some laps in the very, very cold temperatures out there. So the MCG, it's actually looking a bit more enticing than Wavell was this morning.
Now, I've got a question for you. In this day and age of Sean Grigg is an example of a second ruckman in a team. You would take that as a personal affront, I reckon, Benny, if you looked across the circle and just a midfielder was standing across the line from you. Tell us what that is like.
Yeah, you're probably right, JB. It is a little bit insulting to us genuine ruckmen, but at the same time, you can be worried about looking silly too. So you just get on with the job regardless of who's on the other
side. Is it a knee into the guts of one of them just to say, listen, if you want to wander in here, a bit like the backs in rugby league, yes. Duck, when they go into the centre, they feel it.
It's always in the back of your mind that if you can get hold of them in a physical sense, then that's a good thing. But they're normally smart enough to avoid that anyway.
How have you seen the form of other ruckmen? Do you obviously keep an eye on how others are going? But I think
it's been a great year for ruckmen.
It's been a great year for ruckmen. Have you noticed that?
I have, and it actually makes it fairly daunting because most weeks, you know, you're coming up against a quality opponent. But it's fantastic to see, and yeah, I always love the big bucks doing well.
Who do you like the most aesthetically, just when you do study the craft?
I think that everyone has their own unique strengths, I suppose. So probably Gorney, I think, has the most complete package as far as everything that he can do, except probably kicking him from the top of the goals.
Yeah.
He's had a bit of trouble with that. But he's an outstanding player, and I think probably has the most complete set. But you get other guys. You know, Nat Nui is a unique talent, you know, trying to avoid him standing on your shoulders. And unfortunately, he's out of the game for a while now. But
so do you get week-to-week advice on how you're going to operate on each of those? Like if you were playing against Reece Stanley today, you know, athletic, likes to jump, likes to elevate, you would practice that way that week?
Yeah, absolutely. I spend a fair bit of time looking at whoever I'm playing. The next week, I don't spend too much time looking back at what has happened the previous week. So, yeah, there's always a different plan every week to try and negate the strengths of the bloke you're coming up with. And, and David Monk, of course, is a big help with that. Monkey, our ruck coach. And, sometimes you probably the way he would have gone about it is just to give him a bit of a good old biffo. We can't do that anymore.
Just an all-out clubbing.
Yeah. But no, we certainly put some time into whoever we're coming up against.
What are you going to do when you finish playing footy, Benny? Where are you heading? Are you a carpenter? A builder?
No.
Farmer?
No, a farmer.
Farmer, yeah,
simple farmer.
What sort of farming?
So into broadacre cropping and sheep. So, okay. My wife and I got a farm up in the Wimmera that we're trying to build up, and that might be sustainable when I'm finished playing footy, but that's hopefully not too soon.
And with the current drought situation, has that affected it at all?
It's been tough, but we've been lucky enough to have had good rain in the last month.
So you've got a crop in?
Yep, got a crop in. So they're not great, but they're looking okay. So hopefully we can get some rain in the springtime, then we'll be okay.
And the buyer bail, we see Tommy Hawkins today, will personally donate $200 for every Geelong goal kicked. And this is, of course, to assist farmers in Queensland and Northern New South Wales who need help because they've had big issues there. So the buyer bail is a terrific thing. Get stuck into that if you're watching this game today.
What about the Hawks at the moment, mate? How do you think they're travelling? I want to ask you about Mitchell. A lot of talk about you've had one Mitchell that would have roved to you, Sam, who was an absolute gun. You've had so many guns go through the middle of the ground. How good is the Mitchell that you've got there at the moment?
Yeah, look, he's probably got a different skill set to the previous Mitchell, but both outstanding players in their own right. Yeah, he's been fantastic to work with. We've obviously got a really good relationship out there on the field, and he's just so hungry to get the ball all the time, and we've been able to make a good connection. So, his ability to win in the enclosed is outstanding, and probably what most people don't realise is how good a runner he is too. His work rate's outstanding.
Just tell us how that works, because clearly you have a leader, and I assume there's little signs that you have, and they'll say, you know, big boy, put it here, put it there, on the target this time, I'll block, I'll create that space, all of that sort of stuff. Who's the leader in there and who does that? Is he now the leader in there and does he do all that? Or does that change from stoppage to stoppage?
Yeah, no, that changes all the time. And I think when you get a good midfield together, that's the beauty of it. Because you've obviously got rotations now, whether blokes are forward or on the bench, you can't be relying on one bloke. So when we're playing well, you've got everyone buying in and working out those deals and what we're going to do at each individual stoppage. And so I think we've been really strong in that area.
Benny, nuts season. You, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, you were actually a chance to not play finals at all. Mm. Now, if you win today, you actually have a very good chance to jump into the top four. It's an amazing season for the whole competition. How have you seen it?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I imagine that Gill's a very happy man at the minute. But, look, it's great for the game that it's wide open at this point as far as how the top eight pans out. So, look, it's interesting times because you don't have to go back too far, and we had really dominant teams, back to Brisbane and then Hawthorn. Geelong and Hawthorn. We were lucky enough to have a stint at the top. But it's wide open now. I mean, I think Richmond are the best team in the competition, but it's very, very even after that. So, exciting times, especially for the next couple of weeks.
The belief that your club has allowed itself to have about itself, given the success it's had, is that why when you go into this round, sitting fifth, as Jim alluded to, being a live premiership chance, that you're not fearful of what lies ahead, whereas some around you might be?
I think it's always an advantage to have experience under your belt. And while our team has changed a lot in the last few years, there's still a lot of finalists experience there. And yeah, there is that belief that, especially like I was talking about before, it's so open that, we don't hold any fears from anyone, I suppose. But probably nor should other clubs either, because it is so wide open. But certainly we're pretty keen to get ourselves in a good chance to have a crack at some September action.
Do you keep up with some of the former teammates at the Saints? There probably wouldn't be too many left there now, but do you a bit worried about where they're at?
No, all the guys that I keep in touch with have moved on, which is showing my age a little bit. But, not a great performance from them last night, and so it's a little bit concerning, I suppose. But, there's still good people there, so, hopefully they can turn it around and get things heading in the right direction.
So, Benny, when you walk into the Triple M box today, you see Duck in an undersized T-shirt and a sort of a cut-off half puffer jacket, and you see Bill in an oversized shirt. What do you look at the King and go, oh, boy, look at that.
He's looking good, isn't he?
He wants you to acknowledge
you are an idiot. I want to talk about, are you involved, obviously, coming up? Well, that's just a stupid question. Are you involved?
Puffer boy.
Are you involved in what the Cats will do today, obviously, as a stoppage? Do you get involved in that? Clearly, the number of players that they've got through there, and I'm not just, you're talking absolute champions of the game. They will be, they have got three automatic Hall of Famers starting in the middle of the ground today.
It's a frightening prospect, isn't it? It's quite unique to have that calibre of players all playing together. But I went to all the meetings this week and obviously got the other rucks. I'll try to help them out where I can. So still have a little bit of involvement, and you want to, things change, sort of from week to week, and so you want to make sure that you're in touch with everything that's going on when you come back to play too. So certainly stay involved.
Jared Ruff had laid out, or was that something that was always going to happen?
Oh, he's been sore, so it was always a bit iffy. Yeah. He's been generally sore in the last couple of weeks. I think his ankle was just a bit much for this week, so unfortunately we won't have the skip out there today.
I think the Hawks hold the record this year of the most laid outs.
Yes, they do.
I think it's...
Even more than Geelong.
It's how they don't? Okay.
They can rip one out late, but
they do have a few laid outs.
I'm telling you, this is a huge game for you. You can jump into the top four, get a double look, and if you end up in the top four, big boy, the other mob, ooh, Freckles, will tighten right up. That's what Hawks bring.
Here's hoping, JB.
Good luck, and good luck for yourself, too. I love Benny McAvoy. Anytime he comes in, he's very welcome in here. And our man, Bill Brownless, who we've sent down to the boundary, Duck. And we said to him, take this very seriously because you're talking to AFL royalty. Forget about the Cats. This is a 5-time All-Australian, a 3-time premiership player, Corey, otherwise known as Boris Enright, one of the all-time greats. So, Bill, are you down there?
Yes, I am, Jim, and I've just been into the rooms, and do they love seeing the past champions walk through the rooms.
Oh, no.
I had all the boys, Joel
what,
and
Cam
Danger.
Mooney?
Joel and Danger and Gary Ablett, they just come up. Great to see you here, champ. And we do have a champion here. 3-time premiership player. 2 bests and fairest dust in premiership years, which is very important. 6 All-Australians.
6, sorry, Boris, I sold you short.
6 All-Australians. Plus, the actual games record holder at the Cats with 332. There's only been 4 to play 300 games. Of course, this man here, Ian Nankervis, Jimmy Bartel, and the great Sam Newman also. But Corey Enright, better known as Boris, welcome, mate. And this is a huge game of the G rivalry. Do you get cold feet? Do you want to get out there and play?
Cold feet.
Warm feet or whatever.
It's cold at the moment, mate, so it's pretty cold on the grass. But no, yeah, it's obviously... fantastic occasion, and it's a massively important game for us as a footy club. But, yeah, as a player, you love these conditions first and foremost, but you love the situation as well. Need to win to keep your season alive and up against a great opposition.
Does it give you a lift to see the former greats come back through the rooms you just saw?
Absolutely. I think the boys are going to charge through the banner after your presence, mate.
Hey, Boris, now, 5 changes to the Cats side today tells me that yourself in the coaching group and Chris Scott, you haven't got the best 22 yet.
Yeah, I think it's evolving team for us, and we're trying to obviously get that more stability as we get closer to finals. And but having said that, we still need to pick the best team that we think can win against the opposition. So a little bit is versus Hawthorn and what we need to we think what we need to bring in to complement what we've got already. So 5 changes is not ideal, but we think that the ones that we brought in will do a good job.
And the Hawks, of course, 2nd most kicks in the competition, 2nd most marks. That tells me, Boris, that they like to control the game. We know that. They go short. I'm sure it's down the whiteboard down there in the Cats' room.
Yeah, and they play their style well. They keep the opposition from having the ball, and which then they can't get inside 50. It's the number one at restricting inside 50. So it's going to be a challenge for us. We need to get the ball back as quick as we can against them. And, they like to possess it, short kick, and use it until they get to a part of the ground where they attack from.
You're coaching the forwards here now. A lot of people say, what are you doing coaching the forwards? You're one of the great defenders, of course. So what do you bring to the forwards?
Oh, well, obviously, I played on some great forwards along the journey. But I guess you're trying to get what you know as a defender, but also what you have known playing over 300 games. You have a fair understanding of what you need to do as a forward group. And today, we obviously need to try and kick a winning score, but also keep it up in our forward half for long periods.
Triple M footy, you're talking with Boris Enright and Bill Brown's down the boundary here. Very good interview. Just a couple of things, Boris. So we want to know how you got that name quickly, because was it true with the boom boom, the tennis?
Yeah, it was, mate. It was when I was about 5 or 6, I was hyperactive, and Boris Becker, boom boom. Pretty boring story, and unfortunately, I've still got it at the age of 37. I would have liked to have changed that nickname.
Do you still collect masks?
No, not anymore, mate. I've passed that little fade.
Yeah. You used to collect them. You had all the president's masks. You drive around the streets in Geelong in them, walk into banks. No, you probably didn't do that.
No, we did. We used to have a bit of a collection, and it was a bit of a game. If someone came over, they had to get a photo in the mask.
Yeah, and also you bought another pub, I see, during the week down at Geelong. You are the king of the pubs down there. You're Stewie Harrison-like down there in Geelong. But they tell me you secretly love the openings, and you secretly love the social light and all that. You try and steer away from it all, but you love it all.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, I can't get enough of that stuff.
And Renee, of course, the lovely Renee, believe it or not, boys, is a stylist. She's a stylist. And if you ever see Boris, he's not the best dressed bloke going around. How is Renee and the kids? You got a couple of little boys, some father sons, maybe, Boris?
Probably not. The boys love footy, but yeah, well, we've got a bit to go yet before they can be father sons.
Hey, Boris, I'm going to
jump in.
Speaking
of father sons,
exactly right. I want to ask you that exact question. Oscar Brownless, I understand, was at the club this week. How'd he go?
He's good, mate. He's a good kid, and he comes down and he shows a bit, and it's good to have him in our system early, and hopefully we'll get a spot on his list next year.
Is he as much of a smart ass as his old man?
He's a very good kid. I'm not sure. Hopefully that stays that way. He's very respectful, and he's a good little player.
All right, finish it up down there, Bill.
Look, you must win. We've spoken about this. You must win today, because obviously all the talk about, playing Richmond next time, know how to play them. But the reality is we're not in the Geelong aren't in the 8 yet, Boris. So a huge win today.
Yeah, it's massive, obviously, where we are at the ladder position, but also just for us.
G'day, Gaz, yep.
Hawk's actually giving you a smile before, mate. So, it's massive for us, and we just need to keep trying to build on our game and play some really good footy, and, it's going to be a cracking game.
Hey, Scotty, good on you, mate. Oh, he gives me the thumbs up and the talking.
You're a Pachone, Bill. You're a full club Pachone.
Oh, there's Danger. G'day, Danger. Well, have a look at the slick back hair. What's going on there?
Yeah, Slick Rick. Have a look at the legs on him. Have a look at that.
Slick Rick.
Look at the car. Actually, have a look at the calves. Are unbelievable.
He's going to be in trouble when he finishes footy, that's for sure.
Yeah, 1994 it was, Boris. I marked it here. The siren went. No. I was 65 metres out, just went back and went bang.
Oh, no.
It still comes up in all the highlights at the best and fairest. Hey, Corey Enright, you're a bloody star. We love you, mate. mate. All the best today.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Well interviewed, mate. Well done.
Oh, no. Bill's just worked his own resume into an interview on about seven different occasions.
That's give it a mark out of 10, BT.
Yeah, it was pretty ordinary.
Triple M rocks footy. This is the Triple M Saturday run.
All right, quiz time. We've got our man coming back from a magnificent one-on-one interview with Boris Enright. He's going to be running the quiz, of course, the magnificent prizes. And just letting everyone know while Bill makes his way back up here how the quiz works. We've got, of course, hundreds of people on the line wanting to have a piece of the great prize. But when Bill throws to whoever it is, let's say it's Susie down in Cheltenham, he'll go, Suze, and she'll say, I've just had the kids at local footy, and now I'm making them a pie for lunch.
Well, I used to run this quiz for years. I'm happy to run it now. If Bill's late coming back from the rooms, if you want me to, JB, if you want to get it underway, I'm happy to go with it. But
well,
at the moment,
you don't want them even saying hello, do you, Jim?
No, there's no hello.
You should.
No. Because we've already, people have had an hour or so of knowing how well we are. We're flying. We're airborne on this station.
Well, you
so
are, Jim.
People don't need to ask, say, Duck, how are you? Because we know who he is. He's airborne. He's flying. He's the king.
Global in trend.
Global and all that sort of
and
stuff.
We want to know what you've been doing. You know, we want to know who you are and what sort of stuff you do.
Just
you
come back from watching the Junior Faux Morris Reserves.
Yeah,
that's it, Bill.
Playing darts at the local.
Crystal?
You don't really care, though, Jim, because you don't even look around when Gary Ablett waves hello to you.
Well, that is not fair. I just thought I was getting abused for the 8 millionth time by someone in a car next door. And then, of course, I realised it was the great Gary Ablett. Bill's stuck in a lift. So, Bristol, we might just hand it over to you to get the quiz done.
He's wanted it back.
Leroy, have you got the opener there?
Today on the quiz, we're offering a Triple M mystery pack and the chance to go to the 2018 AFL Grand Final. All on Triple M's magnificent segment, the Saturday Rub Quiz. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Billy Brownless.
No, Billy's stuck on the lift, and this is Brian Taylor here.
Come on, Brian.
And Duck won't be given the question.
No, he's already written the answers page down. Yes, yes.
No, he hasn't got
he
it.
He has.
He knows I haven't got it.
Because I'm going to change the question. All right.
So,
there he is.
He's back. Crystal's taken over the quiz.
Oh, I'm going to do the quiz.
No, Bill's back.
You're just a lifeline, Bill.
Bill's back.
Yeah. You got it. There you go. There you go, Bill.
All right, Fat.
Are we on?
Get it right. The quiz has started. Let's get nicely done with Boris Enright, but let's get the quiz.
Justin. G'day, Justin.
Just.
Ross. G'day, Ross.
Just playing Daddy Daycare today, boys.
Good on you, mate. I've been doing that all week. Which player currently leads the competition with the most number of disposals?
Mitchell.
Tom Mitchell, of course. Disposals meaning hands, handball and kicks, Duck.
Thank you, Bill.
Oh, thanks, Bill.
last night, Anthony McDonald, Tippin Woody.
Yeah, nice.
Kicked a career high. How many goals there, Roscoe Picoltrine?
Four.
No.
Andrew.
He's kicked four.
Some of us.
Three times.
Some of us. One of us predicted that before the game, actually.
Must have been you. Andrew in Collingwood.
Just taking the dog out for a walk, boys.
Oh, lovely. Nice. What kind of dog?
A little sausage dog.
Oh, no. You
no.
You
do better than that.
No,
you haven't even got one, have you? You got Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
You can do better
young
than
Penny.
That.
She's going all right.
How many goals did the Tip and Woody kick last night, career high?
Five.
Yes.
Well done, Andrew. This is a lifeline. Get around him! There are currently five teams with 12 wins and 7 losses. Name them, please. Andrew? And you got BT, you got Damien, and you got Duck.
I'll go Duck.
Duck.
Because Duck cheats.
All right, so what's this?
Five teams with 12 wins and 7 losses. Name them.
Collingwood, Port Power.
You've written it down.
Sydney.
I saw you write it down.
Am I reading it?
Right, keep going.
Sydney, Melbourne, and Hawthorn.
You like that, Andrew?
Yeah, we'll go with him.
Bang. Good work, Duck. Very good, Duck.
So you just look at the record that I had in front of me.
In the past 25 games, you've got to listen up here, Andrew. In the past 25 games between Hawthorn and Geelong, how many have been decided by less than a goal?
On how many occasions? Hang on.
So what's the question, Bill?
The last 25 games between Hawthorn and Geelong have been decided by a goal or less.
How many times?
How many times? Thank you, Brian.
This is a random guess. We'll go 13.
No, bad luck, Andrew.
Down a bit, mate.
Jason's there. G'day, Jace.
Yeah, just coming home from motorbike riding, guys.
Oh, what sort of bike?
WR450.
WR450.
Gee, that'd rip your arms off, wouldn't it? Oh,
so you're a bit of a off-roader.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, like to get amongst it.
Oh, good on you, mate. Well done. Nice. Last 25 games between the Cats and the Hawks have been decided by less than a goal. On how many occasions there, Jace?
I'm going to say five.
More than that. Anthony and Diggers Rest.
Oh, Diggers.
Out.
What?
What's that, mate?
I think he just said out. He's out.
He did.
Yeah, he's hung up. Justin's there. Sunbury. Go, Just.
Yeah, just drinking bourbon, building a wall.
I'm not a bourbon drinker on this station. And he's
drinking
building a wall.
Bourbon and building a wall.
Yeah.
Nah, are you not?
Yes, he is out the back, aren't you, Just?
No, internal, mate. Just found out I'm having another baby, so I've got to build a fourth bedroom.
Get off the bourbon. Last 25 games between the Cats and the Hawks have been decided by less than a goal. How many occasions out of 25 games?
Eight.
Oh, come on, a bit more than eight and less than 12. Tim in Collingwood.
Just getting a coffee, boys.
Good on you, mate.
How do you have it?
Flat white.
Yeah. How many times have these two been decided by less than a goal?
Is it 11?
A bit less, Craig, in Rosebud. G'day, Craig.
You've got to actually answer it, not guess.
Just on the way home from work, boys.
Good on you. Well done. How many times, do you reckon?
We'll go nine.
Between 9 and 11, Pete. Pete?
Sitting in the car with the kids.
Just for the day? That's your day, is it?
How good of fun is that?
Well, do you want the truth or not?
No. How many occasions? Between 9 and 11?
10.
Oh, yes, what a star.
That's just question four, by the way.
This is question five, which is a... Get around him! Inclusive of their current captain...
Jared Roughead.
It means with. Name the last four captains for Hawthorn there, Pete.
This is a lifeline, Pete.
The lifeline. Ducks out. You got Damo and Brian.
I'll use Damo.
I mean, this is becoming a trend. Goes duck, Damo, and then they dag ask me.
Yeah. Cheats.
And
I mean,
I'm not happy.
Right. I usually
the last four captains.
Okay. I actually know the
inclusive
answer.
Inclusive of Roughead, isn't it?
Yeah.
Roughead, Hodge.
I don't pretend that.
Oh, well, Hodge is reasonably obvious.
Yeah.
Mitchell.
Ooh.
And then he took it over from.
There's one that just Richie Vandenberg quite stuck up to the rest.
Who'd you say?
Richie Vandenberg.
Well, what do you like that, Pete?
Yep.
Oh, Damo, well done. Vandenberg was the one that sticks out a bit. Duck, you're saying?
This quiz is a complete disaster.
Number six, Brian's the only one left.
Everyone knows the answers.
Which former Eagle and current Gold Coast Sun announced his retirement after 207 games during the week?
Matt Rosa.
Well done.
Oh, confident.
Number seven, name the Irishman making his debut for Hawthorn today. First gamer for the Hawks is?
Connor Nash.
Oh,
well done. Number eight. And you got Brian.
I'm not interested.
Pete. Brian. Dale Morris plays his 250th game. What a star he's been, Jim.
Brilliant.
In his first ever game back in round five, 2005, which former teammate kicked six goals?
Hey. Oh, come on, BT. Don't let me down, mate.
Yeah. Oh. Who's saying yeah there, Pete?
No, that's one of the kids, mate. They're excited here.
In the car. Which former teammate kicked six goals on that first game that he played in 2005, Brian?
What's the question, Brian?
A, Luke Darcy. B, Chris Grant. C, Brad Johnson. D, Jade Rawlings.
What year was it?
2005.
Yeah. Jade Rawlings.
Now, you can go with him, Pete, or you don't have to go with him, Pete.
Because, Peter, I don't know this, but BT sometimes deliberately throws up the wrong answer.
Don't be like that. Oh. He said Jade Rawlings, D. What do you reckon?
Four.
Today, mate.
All right, BT, I believe in you, mate. Come on.
He's gone with D. Oh, Brian!
You knew!
No. Greg's there in Berwick. G'day, Greg.
Oh, no.
I've just pulled over the side of the road, having a break from work.
Oh, good on you. Working too hard, mate. Dale Morris played his 250th game in his first game in 2005. Which former teammate kicked 6 goals? A, Luke Darcy. B, Chris Grant. C, Brad Johnson. D, Jade Rawlings. And it wasn't D, Greg.
Is the lifeline door back in?
Nuh-uh.
I couldn't help you anyway, mate.
JB can be a lifeline.
No, I don't. Bristol, I haven't even heard the
Bill.
Question.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yes, if you want to use JB, Greg, or you can go yourself.
I'll go to
great JB. All right, the Duke. I'm giving it to the Duke.
Luke Darcy.
Duke.
Right, he's gone with A. Luke Darcy, Greg.
Gee, that's a turn up.
He did kick that many once.
All right. Yeah, go
Pencil Head
Darcy.
Pencil Head.
You got it right, Greg. Two more, and you can win the mystery pack, Greg. How many behinds did Hawthorn concede in the 2008 grand final against Geelong?
Oh, tough question.
How many behinds did Hawthorn concede? And then the rule was changed after this, of course.
Yeah, it was eight.
No, a few more than eight, but good answer. Trent in Ballarat.
Just washing the car.
Oh, good on you. Is it raining in Ballarat or snowing?
Nothing at the moment. Sun's out.
Oh, good. How many behinds did Hawthorn concede in the 2008 grand final against the Cats?
23.
Oh, might have been 23 points kicked, but the Hawks conceded. The rush ones we're talking about here. Yes. Matty?
Actually, he's probably technically right.
Yeah, it's a really badly put question, Bill.
And I don't write them. Ash Tua does.
But I think that answer was probably right.
Can you say how many behinds were kicked in that grand final, please, Luke? Matt?
I'm just sitting at Murrurung Park looking over to the fore pocket where Duck done a calf muscle.
Oh, do a calf muscle, Duck.
Yeah, I did. I played a game there. Kicked a good goal on my left and then...
That was about it.
...from the boundary and then give him a calf a minute later.
According to Ash Tua, Matt, how many behinds did Hawthorn concede in the 2008 grand final against the Cats?
Deliberately rushed, mate.
Rushed.
9.
A couple more there. Steve in Roeville, how are you, mate?
Just at work.
Big night at the Roeville Hawks last night. They had a very good, entertaining speaker, Steve. Yeah. How many behinds did Hawthorn concede in the 2008 grand final against the Cats?
11.
Bang! Righto, here we go. Who coached Hawthorn between 1996 and 2000? Who was the coach there? Steve-O, for all the chocolates here today.
Oh, have I got a lifeline?
No.
Alistair Clarkson.
Oh, no.
96 to 2000. Jake from who's in Doreen?
Oh, Bradbury.
Bradbury, just coming along. Answer one question. Win all the prizes, Jake.
Just get into work, boys.
You need to actually think.
Who coached the Hawks between 96 and 2000?
I think it's Ken Judge.
Bang! Jakey boy!
Just from nowhere.
He's won the Triple M Mystery Prize Pack, Jim, and goes into the running to win the tickets to the 2018 AFL Grand Final. Well done, Jakey. Hang on.
All right. Well done, Jakey boy.
Well done, Bill.
Nicely done, Bill. Just sort of got your way through it.
Interview, quiz.
Yeah.
Seamless.
I tell you what, ticking some boxes today.
Oh, no. For Coates Hire, this is the Triple M Footy Preview. You just nuffed your way onto the Geelong players down there too, didn't you?
Oh.
Like you were trying to get their attention. They didn't want to have anything
Tom
to do with
Hawkins
you.
Ran the length of the field to say good day.
No, he didn't.
Geez, a lot of love.
He actually didn't do that.
Ask the little fella here was with me, mate. Look at the photos, Jim. Signing autographs in the race.
You are a dead set flog.
They wanted it.
Oh, of course.
And Kent Mooney was there and they didn't want nothing of him.
This is Triple M Footy.
Simply the best.
Every massive game.
Bang. What about that?
Oh, yes. Every massive moment.